game. Hotter than a firecracker, and it's only going to get hotter over the next few days. It's Kayak Fishing Radio. I'm Chip Gibson, the tree hugger, and welcome aboard. Man, I'm beat. I have been in the next state over with my pop for the last week. He had to have a double bypass and staying at the hospital with him, and it's boy, you can't get any rest in a dadgum hospital, man. They come in about every couple hours, wake you up. Yep. So, he might be listening in. I don't know. But if he is, hope you're feeling better. I know when I left today, he was sitting up, doing pretty good. So, got him up walking around already. He's got some great scars for barroom action, so we'll see. Hopefully, with the new tubes in place, he'll be feeling a little spunky and ready to get out there and tackle a boondoggle with us. So, here on Buzzards Row, Bill Howard, Haywood, man, how are you tonight?
Good, Chip. How are you?
I'm good, man. I know you're tired, Bill.
Yeah.
And the weather has been just really brutal down there. It's
Now yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I saw your videos on the Facebook page there, man. That was a lot of water coming down. What was the final tally for the total number of inches you guys got?
Dude, I don't know. We had to have at least a foot of rain. It just poured buckets.
Yeah.
My ponds out back are all overflowing, and the canals were probably as high as I've ever seen them. I can't recall. They were almost coming over one of the roads here, just a block over from my house. So,
wow.
That was pretty high.
Yeah. So, tonight, we're actually two-digit midgets for the boondoggle. 99 days in a wake-up, and we will be on the President's Day weekend, October 5th through the 8th. And
boondoggle, boondoggle, boondoggle. What the heck's a boondoggle? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource.
Yep, yakangler.com/boondoggle or kayakfishingradio.com/boondoggle. Check out the last couple, and if you can make it, man, it's going to be really, should be a lot of fun. So, I know in the chat room we got 59 Bassman, LGB, a couple of guests, the Scuba Stan. If you're a guest and you want to participate in the chat room, just sign on in. It's easiest to do with your Facebook page. And just use that login, hit refresh, and you should pop right back in as a user there. Red Raider just showing up. So I ain't been out fishing, man. And I know you haven't been out fishing.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
No, let's see.
Unless you're throwing a line out the back door.
No. Yeah, it was the weekend before the storm came. I haven't been fishing since.
That was the Howe event, right?
Yep, yeah, it was a Howe event.
How did that go? Come off?
It was good. We had one turtle. We had a guy leaning a little bit too far over, and over he went, but got him back, and the only thing that was lost was a cane. So,
cool.
Went well. Fishing was kind of slow, but this time of year, it's really better to fish in the afternoons because you got a good strong outgoing tide. In the mornings, the tide's high and it's barely moving, and you know, the fish are all stacked up, hiding and everything. But the afternoon, I'm actually going to try to get out tomorrow afternoon. And it's probably been over a year since I've done an afternoon trip, so.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's like we're calling for over 100 degrees here tomorrow. Same down there?
No, I don't think it's going to be that hot. It's probably going to be in the low 90s. But no, it's not going to be that hot either.
Right. What's the water temps doing down there?
I haven't looked, but I'm sure that they, with all this rain, that they're probably down in the 70s somewhere. And they were hovering right around the 80s, 81. And then this rain will, that'll cool it off quite a bit.
Right. So you say you're going to go out in the afternoon. And have you heard any reports? Anybody getting lucky?
I don't think very many people have been fishing this week. I did see a lot of boats heading out today. So, I've kind of heard some reports that the water is mixed. Some places it's real mucky and other places it's clearing up. So there's probably a ton of trash in the water. And it's typical with any big storm that we have, you'll hear a lot of reports from the county beaches that they close them because of fecal coliform. And so I'm going to choose a place where there's a lot of water moving.
Right.
And that I'm going to go toward the mouth of the bay. So a lot of that, that fresh Gulf water coming in and then flushing back out might clean it up a little bit. But
right.
up in the upper parts of the bay, and just down the road from my house here, they had high levels of fecal, so they closed the beaches. And what happens is you get so much rain that the wastewater plants cannot handle that sudden influx. So it throws the wastewater plants out of balance, and they end up discharging water that hasn't been treated to the degree that it needs to be. So it happens every big storm.
Yeah. Now, any time here in Atlanta, you get a gully washer come through, it'll blow out the Chattahoochee River. I mean, they have monitors, monitoring stations about every 2 to 4 miles along the river, and you just see the coliform counts go up, and it takes about 48 hours for it to flush out. And then they drop back down, and it's safe again. But freshwater fishing a little different because the dadgum, the fish aren't going to get the bacteria like the freshwater fish will. So, but it was interesting. I know there were some folks out there just gutting it out. I know the IFA tournament up in the Panhandle was they kept going and.
Yeah, I saw that. That was a little foolish. Looking at the pictures that I saw, it looked pretty calm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So maybe they got in just before it, happened. But
it definitely wasn't calm here. Saturday it was blowing. Saturday morning was manageable. Saturday afternoon it started getting really hairy, and then Sunday was completely blown out, and then Monday, I was at the port working, and the winds were blowing steady 40 knots. It was just crazy.
Yeah. We're getting some reports in the chat room there. Scuba Stan, who's up in Charleston, South Carolina, says 101 there today or tomorrow, looking at 102 on Saturday. Red Raider from Texas is saying feeling the heat down there. And then 59 Bassman says 107 in Knox, Vegas tomorrow and Saturday. But it's a wet heat. I used to hear those guys out at Fallon and say, oh, it's a dry heat, you know, it'd be like 113 degrees out there, and, you know, so is your oven, you know, when you open the oven door, that's dry coming out of there, but, you get out on the
desert.
Say again?
Okay, that takes me back to my days in the desert.
Oh, yeah, man. Nellis, Fallon, getting out there. I mean, I landed in Nellis.
I'm talking about Riyadh.
Oh, Riyadh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We carry a couple gallons of water with us in the Bronco and drink all of that, man, in a four-hour flight. It was
my guys would, and I always lived like the recovery shift, which would go in the afternoon to recover the jets after they landed. If you didn't have a bottle of water open, drinking it, and one in your pocket, you got your ass chewed.
Oh, yeah. It was just crazy. I mean, you were going to...
just kept drinking.
Yep. Amazing how quickly you could dehydrate out there.
Yep.
Yeah, so...
well, it's going to be a balmy 92 tomorrow here.
Balmy 92.
Yeah.
Right? And about probably 94% humidity?
It's pretty high right now, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, we landed in Nellis one night. It was about 1 a.m. Climbed out of the airplane, walking across the tarmac, and it was like, dang, what's the temperature here? You know, and the plane captain that recovered us says, it's 101, sir. It was 101 degrees at 1 in the morning. It's like, holy crap, man. Never seen. I mean, just incredible heat. And I think they said today there was like 27 states that were over 100 degrees that hit over 100 mark, and looking for more than that tomorrow. So the heat's tough. Got to be careful out there in a little plastic boat. I don't know if you can carry enough water, but certainly plan your trips accordingly, either early morning
or early.
Yeah. So Now, you were talking about, because you got a good strong flow on the outside. You talked about the coliform thing that you're trying to avoid. But after a big storm, I mean, what's your tactics there? What are you thinking as far as where am I going to go fishing? All this stuff is blown up.
If you can find a creek that's dumping good water, you know, like from a creek mouth, that's always good because it's washing all kinds of food out.
Right.
You'll find a lot of snook, some redfish. It's out. Care too much for that. Fresh water. It seems like sometimes they kind of move out into a little bit deeper, saltier water.
Mm-hmm.
But, most of the creek water here is so brackish anyway. I don't know. Sometimes you get a big flux of fresh water, and you got to go a little deeper to find the fish because they're out in that little bit more saltier water.
Right.
So, and then with it being so hot, the fish will tend to move up on the flats early in the morning, and then as the day progresses, and they move out maybe into some deeper water. And when I say deeper, 4 to 6 feet, that's deep. To me,
right.
That's deep, you know. So then they go into that deeper water to get cool. So I don't know. I don't really give it too much thought when we have a big storm, big rain like this. You know, a lot of guys, when we have the big storms, they fish the spillways, which we don't really have that many over here on this side of the bay. We have more on the Pinellas, on the west coast side of the bay. They have more of those types of spillways and fresh water. Well, they're not, they're kind of a brackish water ponds that, the intercoastal kind of dumps into, and then you'll have a lot of fresh water runoffs into those, and the fish will be real active into those. But not too many down here where I live.
Right. So has it gotten too hot for a topwater bite now?
No. The first hour or two of daylight in the morning, the topwater bite's just, insane. In fact, I went out before the Howe event, and I lost 8-6 the top order that were, and they must have been reds coming up and rolling and getting hooked on the bottoms of their mouth and then diving down in the grass and scraping it off. And, I had, like, probably 15 huge blow-ups, 8 hookups, and lost every one. I got mad and went home.
He just got mad and went home.
Yeah, I just like, no, you know what? This is, I'm going home because this is not good. So.
Yeah. So if you're gonna go out on a hot day, right? You're gonna hit if you're gonna hit it early, and you're gonna so first hour or so, we're still talking gray light or after the sun cracks up.
Yeah, gray. So I've always gone by kind of a rule of thumb that I came up with, and it's pretty steady here where I live. There's like a magic 20 minutes, I call it, early in the morning, when it's just barely light enough for fish to see on the flats, the top water bite will just go crazy until it gets too light that they become visible to the prey, and then they'll, you know, you'll still catch a few, but the majority will go and then go find an ambush spot and stay there and just wait for food to come to them. So there's like a magic 20 minutes that, you know, if you're at the right place at the right time, the top water bite can just be insane. But my local park now is closed, and you can't, you know, it costs $130 to get after hours pass. So I haven't been able to really get in there and test, you know, get in there and get that magic 20 minutes lately. So, you know, by the time we usually roll in there, the sun's way up. And the top water bite's still okay, but it's not as good if you were there an hour before that, you know. So.
Right.
And then the same thing kind of happens in the afternoon. And this time of year, the tides are flushing out in the evenings. And so all the fish are coming out from the back country. So, like, tomorrow we'll have a 0-foot tide. At low tide, it'll be 0 feet. So it'll be really low. And parts of the flats will be exposed, so they've got to go to deeper water. And areas where they can pin bait up against the sandbar, that's magic, because they will just go off on anything that you throw in there. So you get a little bit of the same thing in the evening that you do in the morning. In my opinion, it's just not as good as it is in the morning. That morning, 20 minutes can just be awesome.
Right. It's that pink, as we used to call it in the aviation, you know, the pinky time, you know, right then. And it's really, it's interesting, if you've ever seen a depiction of what the fish sees from underwater. And you can see it yourself if you go, you put your scuba mask on and just sit, get your head down under the water and look straight up. They see completely around to the horizon. So it's kind of it's the fisheye lens, basically. And so you got the shadows and everything, it's easy to be camouflaged and they can't see you moving around and stuff. And the shy fish, you can get up on them. They see that top water plug. They're not expecting it. So, what do you do once that bite turns off? Then do you go to drifted baits and looking for those fish that are holed up for ambush? You start
I don't really like to work mangroves. I hate it. I do. It's just not my thing. I don't know if I got poor depth perception. I end up throwing shit in the trees.
You lose too many lures, right?
So I'd rather cruise a, you know, now I will cruise a shallow shoreline. We have shallow, you know, like mangrove edges where it's really shallow and there'll be a large area of sand and then it goes to grass. I will cruise those areas looking for fish moving on those.
Yeah.
But, you know, if the tide is right, then I'd go out to the flats and start looking potholes, looking for the schools of mullet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's big schools of mullet down, then I go look those. I still look them with the top order. I've caught fish year-round, all during the day. It doesn't matter with the top water. You know, if they're there, they'll hit it. But generally, this time of year, you know, your light's a little better in the morning, a little bit better in the afternoon, low light conditions.
Right.
Yeah, like, I'll move out into the flats and, you know, just depending on what the tide gives you, you know, I go from there, but working like deep mangroves and trying to pitch baits up underneath mangroves, and I guess I don't like it. I'm not that good at it. It's too frustrating for me. So I spend more time snagged or getting something out of the tree, and just I don't enjoy it.
Yeah, I'd rather go ahead and take the stroke and just drop the ball outside of the sand trap, you know. Screw it. throwing up underneath there, and oh man, those spooks and those those lures are getting expensive to be throwing them up under there and losing them to a mangroves, right?
That's why I like Sea to Sea so much, because there's no mangroves. You throw it in the grass, just give it an extra yank or two, and it'll come out.
Yeah. So, well. And targeting mostly snook and redfish now on the flats. Seeing any blackfish or any black drum or?
We get a lot of black drum down here.
Yeah.
I've seen a few from time to time. The black drum that I'll go target are on the bridges.
Right.
And it's time for that to be going on. I just haven't put together a trip yet to go after them, but they're there.
I know last week, I think it was last week, Becker said something about that it's about time to go after the big black drum under the bridge, so.
Yeah, they're there, you know, so when the flats kind of heat up and it gets too hot to really go out there, you can go under those bridges, you know, and it's shady, and you usually have a nice little breeze, and you can stay cool, and you don't have to paddle very far, and so.
Right.
Yeah, we'll be making a bridge trip here shortly.
What do you hear? Has there been anybody in the plastic in kayaks having any luck on tarpon this year?
Yeah, the beach bite seems to be pretty good to the south, down in Sarasota down there. I know those guys have been, you know, they've been getting a few. Haven't heard anything up around my neck of the woods.
Right.
There was some early, but I don't know now. And these fish were probably chased offshore by the storm.
Right.
And I believe that most of them have already gone out to spawn, so now they might be scattered out along the beaches a little bit more, but it was, you know, it was pretty good. The guys were doing okay this year. I hadn't gotten out.
Yeah. Anybody get any size? Any what kind of sizes were they catching?
I think, you know, maybe 100 pounders.
Yeah.
I don't think I saw anything too awful big this year.
Right. What do you think? Do you think the snook population and the trout have recovered from the frost of a couple of years back?
Well, the trout have big time. It's been really good on trout for a while now, and this spring was very, very good for snook. There was a lot of nice feeder-sized snook caught, which was very encouraging. In this area, my area of Tampa Bay was just devastated.
Right.
And last year, guys were telling me where normally they go out, and these are guides that do it every day, that get on the snook when they're spawning in areas that there were no snook. None at all. So we're seeing a lot more, nicer size snook. And they just announced today that it's closed. They're going to keep it closed for another year.
Right.
Which is great. So if we can make it through another winter, I think they should, they should be rebounding. I don't think the snook down in Sokolovsky have quite made it back to where they were. I know that they're catching some nice ones, and I saw a report from Flamingo that some of the snook down there were coming back, and that place was just, it was just decimated. The snook down there took a big, big blow.
Mm-hmm.
So it's encouraging.
Yes, it is. I mean, nature will recover. I mean, nature has a way of taking care of itself in spite of what we do to it. So.
And the trout bite has been really good. Caught some really nice, big fat trout. I had a 24-incher just last month. It was, probably 3 pounds, 3 or 4 pounds or so. And that's a good trout. So here, 24, anything above that in this area, you're doing good.
That's a gator on your coast.
Oh. Yeah, I've always thought anything more than 25, the 25 range is a gator over here. You get some bigger ones.
Right.
But we don't get the real big ones on a constant basis like they do, over on the East Coast. Those guys over there make you sick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let me say hey to Rob and Mr. Wheeler.
Hey, what's happening?
Evening, guys. Not much. No.
Hey, is Rob in the chat room?
Nope. You got a question for him?
No, I need him to send me a PM somehow, either Facebook or what. Send me a PM.
Okay.
All right. So what have you been up to, Rob?
Oh, nothing. Just working on soundtrack stuff for my friend and all that stuff.
You made it through the storm okay?
Yeah. It was it didn't lose power or anything. It was pretty nasty though.
Haywood gave us his report from his neck of the woods and
He's right about the trout, man. The trout, I haven't seen trout like this in ever. It's pretty awesome. My biggest one of the year was, it had to be close to 28, 29 inches at right there, New Year's Day on the Anclot River.
Right.
So, I can't. Yeah, on the East Coast, you do that all day long. But definitely not around this time, or on this coast.
When I was fishing the DOA tournament, I was talking to the guys over there, and the one gentleman from DOA, not McBride, but the other guy, Bill.
Mark Nichols.
Yeah, Nichols. He's a big trout fan, huge trout fan, and he said that a lot of the trout in the area. And I'm not one that would take a trout for harvest. I took a couple early on when I first started catching speckled trout, but I wasn't a real fan of eating them. I prefer like dolphin and cobia for eating kind of fish rather than that. But he said a lot of the trout now that he finds, he catches and stuff that he sees come in there have pretty heavy parasite loads as far as worms in them. Kind of like the only fish I ever found worms in was a amberjack, around the tail and stuff like that. But he's claimed that there's quite a big parasite load in the trout these days.
Yeah, and if you look at it, it's a white parasite. It's got a big white, big head on it. And what those are actually skunk parasites.
I'm sorry.
There's skunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody's got something going on in the back down there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's Rob or Wheeler. One of you guys got a noisy mic.
Totally quiet, but you can mute me if you want.
No, that's cool. It's quiet now. Now say it again, Bill, because I don't know if anybody heard.
They're a shark parasite. I used to remember the name. I'd have to look it up now. I don't remember what it's called. And it attaches itself to sea trout, and then, you know, if a shark eats them, then it gets ingested in the shark, and it stays in the shark's body. They know you can cook them. I usually pick them out.
Right.
No problem. But I would say that, yeah, you would see more of them over there because they don't get the water flush that we really do over here. I find them more in trout in areas that are the water doesn't move quite as much.
Right.
And then in a certain time of year, you'll see more than you will in another time of year. But yeah, you see them. They look like little white worms in there. You could pick them out or just cook them. They know they have absolutely no harm to humans, and you don't even know they're there. So.
Yeah, I had asked when I was up in Pensacola, and I found them in the amberjack, you know, and I asked around, and there's I think it's Auburn has a laboratory up there as well as Alabama, and you know, Dr. Bob Schiff, you know, and he came out one with a commentary on them and said, "Yep, absolutely harmless. You cook the fish, but it's just not very appetizing to see worms crawling around in your fish." You know, I mean. Just not very appetizing at all. So, but like I said, I don't really have a taste for the trout. I mean, I kind of think they're a little on the soft side. I like a little firmer fleshed fish. But yeah, that was his argument to say, you know, there's no reason to kill a trout. You know, that they're no good for eating. So just catch them and have fun and turn them loose. But Mr. Wheeler. You still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, man.
What are you doing?
Getting rigs ready for tomorrow. I'm fishing the Virginia Beach Tuna Tournament on a buddy's boat. So I'm sitting here rigging baits and getting ready for that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blackfin, yellowfin, what kind of tuna are you going for?
Lines in is at 6. There's going to be a good tide running, and there's a an eddy that's flowing right around what we call the fingers.
Yeah.
So that's going to pretty much push the yellowfin in. But there have been some bluefin caught just north of that, and if you put a bluefin on the deck, you can pretty much, you know, write a check. You know, that's kind of the thought process. Tournament started today, and only a couple boats brought in, you know, tuna, yellowfins. One brought in a big eye, and that's about it. The whole plan is for tomorrow because we got a little bit of a, like I said, that eddy sitting out there. The guys that were out there were bailing dolphins, so hopefully if we head north, like we're planning on, I mean, we're leaving the dock at 2:30 to head north. And see what happens.
Right. Cool. Well, good luck and tight lines on that, man. That sounds like a lot of fun. Is the weather going to be a factor for you guys?
No. I mean, they're predicting tomorrow max wind to 10 knots, which isn't bad, out of the south. So no real worries about the wind. Maybe a popcorn thunderstorm in the afternoon, but we're hoping to be in around 1:30.
Cool.
Popcorn thunderstorm. Is it raining popcorn there? That's awesome.
What was that movie? Chance of Spaghetti and Meatballs or something like that?
Yeah.
All right. That sounds like fun, man. We're two-digit midgets going in for the boondoggle now, guys. 99 and a wake-up.
Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. Getting short. So... getting some background there. But none of it there. Bassman is saying he solved the problem. He doesn't eat seafood. He doesn't have to worry about the worms. I like the crab and shrimp, clams. I like the bugs.
I wonder how the clam farm did up there at Cedar Key.
Yeah, it kind of got a lot of water going in there. You think a freshwater flow might be bad for that, right?
For clams?
Well,
yeah.
No, not really, Chip, because you got the Tuolumne right to the north, and that's why that water's so dingy there, is because of all the fresh water coming out of the Tuolumne.
That's true.
I'm thinking more of the wind and wave action, what that does to them there.
Busting up the beds and stuff.
Yeah, those things get buried down in the mud, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think we probably need to take a trip and find out. What do you say?
There is a trip in the works.
All right. Well, you have to send me a note so I know what's going on, man.
Hello.
I need some fishing, man. I said past events, a couple of weeks have been really tiresome, so hopefully.
The guys I'm going with, they're going to go chase redfish. I'm like, we can chase redfish here.
Yeah.
You can't chase those giant black gum waving their tails at you. So, I don't know.
Yeah. If folks have not been there to see that, I mean, the first one you pointed out, it was like I had been looking in that direction going, what the heck is that? And then when you said, that's a black drum, check it out, it's over there. Oh, that's not a broom sticking up out of the water. Yeah. So, and then the day you sat there with the clone watching him come through the oyster beds, and then the next time we were down there, him and I did the same exact thing, just sat there in about the same location you two were. Just, you could just reach out with the end of your rod and touch them, man. They were so close. But
yeah, they're hard to catch, though.
Hard to catch. Absolutely. So, anyways. Well, I'm about run out. I'm going to fall asleep here. I've been driving back and forth to Alabama every day just about with Pop and them. And so we got I want to say hi to some more folks that join us in the chat room there. The Bassman's in there, LGB, Red Raider, Scuba Stan, yes, Yak Chum in there, and Steve Chapman, our buddy from Fishing Florida Radio. If you guys haven't yet, you're listening to our podcast, make sure you check out Steve and Cap Mike Ortego and Boudreaux on Saturday mornings from 6 to 9. Great bunch of guys. They've been teaching bad habits to our Monday night host here on Kayak Fishing Radio. The Redfish Chuck there, taking him and making him do bartending duties and stuff like that, all for a good cause, of course. But they also have their podcast and all, and iHeartRadio. It's a great way to listen to. I mean, why wouldn't you just listen to fish people talking about fishing and having fun, right? So Bill, you got some plans for the weekend, man? You headed that way?
Yeah, actually, I'm gonna try to get out of work tomorrow early. Get out. Tomorrow's a great tide. It's gonna be 0.0 at like 7 something.
I'm gonna hit that and then
try to do it again Saturday afternoon and try to get in some afternoon fishing. So
awesome.
Yeah.
And Rob, how about you, man? You gonna take advantage of it?
Yeah, going Saturday, St. Joseph Sound, and my fishing buddy Keith, something's up. I try to get him to go tarpon fishing, and he's not interested. He's like, "Oh, that's a little bit too big for me." I'm happy catching dinks and some redfish once in a while, and all that stuff. That's a little bit too much for me. I've been like trying to talk him into going tarpon fishing. So it's a no go. So I guess I'll have to do that on my own. Where we're going is kind of close to a good tarpon spot. So I think I'm going to go chase tarpon and let him go catch the dinks and the reds and the ladyfish.
We could join up together and send him a mediocrity badge.
Oh, he's really easy, man. We go out. I mean, we fish all the time, and if he catches like one dink, he's happy. You know, it was a successful day fishing for him. I don't know. When I have days like that, I'm like ready to throw my rod over the side, you know.
Or break it or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's cool, man. Wheeler's off for the tournament. You going to do that all weekend, Wheeler?
Yeah, I got the tournament tomorrow, and then Saturday I've got to catch sharks. So I'll be sitting on a beach somewhere enjoying that, tagging sharks. So
you're tagging them?
Yep. Join the Apex Predator National Fisheries, so the NOAA Fishery Program, the Apex Predator Program, I should say, and tagging sharks.
Cool.
So, yeah, I've got a couple of new satellite tags that they want me to put on bulls, makos, and threshers, but I'm going to only put, they're really stressing the bull sharks. So, catch a couple of them, catch some black tips, put some regular tags on them, and have a relaxing Saturday.
Awesome. Well, enjoy it, and we're going to try to beat the heat here. Maybe they'll do a little generation on the Chattahoochee. When they do that, we get that 40-degree water coming out from the bottom of the dam, and it cools the river down, but I'm sure there's going to be a million people out there, so I don't know. But definitely looking to a Florida mini boondoggle here in the future. So we'll stay up on that.
August.
Yeah, man.
August. August.
Okay. I'll pencil in the months.
I'm going.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks everybody.
Weekend after 4th of July, I'm going to Blue Springs, man, and then heading over to fish the Goon one day, like right there before ICAST.
Right. Yeah, I'm not going to make it down for ICAST, folks. So, you'll have to party on without me. But we'll be talking about that here in an upcoming one. So, Bassman says he's going to try some freshwater stripers from the Yak. Needs a paddle. 40-plus inch fish, busting shad every morning at dawn. That sounds fun. Absolutely. Yeah. So, all right. We look forward to hearing next week how we did, what happened during the weekend. Kick it off on Monday with Chuck and follow on through with the Double L crew and Wheeler on Wednesdays. And we'll see you back here on Thursday. Like I said, check out Florida Fishing Radio. It's some of our buds over there. Yeah, they drive hard shell boats, but they're not bad guys at all, and they're pretty funny. So, thanks for showing up. See you next week. Thanks, Rob. Thanks, Bill. Tight lines, guys.
See ya.
Hey.
Good night.